All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast. I hope everybody's having a fantastic morning, noon, or night, wherever you are in the world. You are certainly in the right place because today we are joined by a heavy hitter in the crypto market, a founder, a builder. Sriram Kannan, the founder of EigenCloud, is joining us, and I couldn't be more excited. So Sriram, thank you for joining. How the heck are you doing?
My pleasure. Looking forward to this Crypto 101. Excited to be here. Doing well. How are you?
I'm very good. I enjoyed the long weekend for Labor Day. Hopped back into the markets to a lot of volatility and news announcements. So things have been good, but I'm really interested to know about everything that's going on in the EigenCloud ecosystem. But for those listeners who are new to EigenCloud and maybe haven't seen any of your other interviews, can you give us a little high level on who you are and what you're building?
Yeah. I'm Sriram. I started this Eigen Labs, which is the company behind EigenAir. We started this 4 years back. I used to be a professor at the University of Washington, Seattle, where I ran the UW Blockchain Research Lab. A quick overview of what is EigenCloud. We announced this branding of EigenCloud like a few months back. The idea of EigenCloud is, when you think of like the cloud in web applications, you write a program, and part of the problem that it's trying to solve is, when you write a program, you don't want to also build the hardware and the servers and all the other systems that have to run that software. So you use this cloud, which is this public, you know, data centers where you can upload your software and it runs all the computation, storage, everything on this cloud. So this made it easy for anybody to come in and build software applications on the internet. And what we are seeing, what we are aspiring to do at Eigen, is to build a similar framework and a platform for crypto builders. You want to build a new decentralized protocol. You just write the protocol and send it to EigenCloud, and it should find, unlike the regular public cloud, which is a centralized, non-verifiable service, This EigenLayer, EigenCloud, is built on top of, you know, stakers and operators, people who put down money. Stakers are people who put down money and then promise that they're running the computations correctly. Operators actually run the computations on their behalf. These could be the same people or different people. And so the EigenCloud lets you upload your software and get it run in a decentralized, verifiable manner and bring those results back. So what we did is we took the foundation of the regular cloud is a data center, like a place where you can run the computation. The foundation of EigenCloud is EigenLayer. EigenLayer is this protocol that lets anybody stake and anybody run operations for networks and services built on top. You call these networks and services AVSs. AVS for Autonomous Verifiable Service. Autonomous. So we have Amazon Web Services. That's the biggest public cloud. What is it? It's a web service, an service that runs on the internet. Who runs it? Amazon runs it. So it's Amazon Web Services. We call our, our things AVSs. What is an AVS? VS, verifiable service, is a service, but it runs exactly as stated. So it's verifiable that it's actually running as stated. So it's a verifiable service. Who runs it? Kind of runs on its own. So we say autonomous verifiable services. What do you mean it runs on its own? Anybody can stake and keep it running. And so therefore it is. That's our kind of like the eigenlayer economy is stakers and operators bring decentralized computation to actually serve these services. And what, just like in the public cloud, you have the data center, which underpins it. But they also have some base level services that Amazon offers, like, storage service or a compute service on top of it. And so the same way on top of eigenlayer in the eigencloud ecosystem, we have a data service called EigenDA and a compute service called EigenCompute. So these three, eigenlayer, EigenDA, EigenCompute, form the base units of eigencloud.
That's incredible. And it sounds like essentially to dumb it down for myself, it's really just a competitor, not just, but it's taking market share and competing with the Amazon Web Services of the world. But particularly for crypto related applications is kind of how I understand it. And so is this something that you saw a huge need for? Maybe you tried to build your own Ethereum based applications or had some friends that were trying to do it and it was really hard. And so you said, I'm just going to build the infrastructure to make it easy for everybody else. Tell us a little bit about sort of that, that process.
Yeah. One of the really amazing things that Ethereum did is anybody can come and deploy a smart contract on top of Ethereum. So as a deployer of the smart contract, I don't need to worry about where is the trust and verifiability coming from. Ethereum provides all of that. You just deploy the software there, and then it just runs. The smart contract runs. But this is only possible inside the limitations of Ethereum. Ethereum has very limited throughput. It has very limited programmability. I have to write it in Solidity, which is this programming language. I cannot tell each node in the Ethereum network what they should be doing because I only have a limited grade of programmability. And part of what was happening as a professor was we were inventing new kinds of consensus protocols, new kinds of data storage protocols, which split the data in different ways to different nodes. Because right now in all the blockchains, including Ethereum and Solana, like every node downloads all the data, which is not a scalable approach, right? So, if you're inventing all these new kinds of primitives, you cannot build it on top of Ethereum. So what happened was, there was this whole era of prof chains or prof coins. And so they were basically like people trying to build new complex infrastructure, and they couldn't do it on top of Ethereum. You have to go and start a whole new layer one blockchain to just do that. And instead of each new layer one, and each new layer one has to solve not just the one problem they were trying to solve, just let's say data storage. They have to create a new form of money and like a new wallet and a new ecosystem, a decentralized community. And it's just madness.
All right, Crypto 101 fam, after a long day of podcasting and trading these markets, you know I need a good night's sleep. And comfort is personal. For me, it's a mattress that's soft enough to sink into at the end of a long day, but supportive enough to keep my back happy in the morning. That's exactly what I get with the Avocado Green Mattress Eco Organic Mattress. It's their most affordable certified organic mattress without compromise. Medium firm with a plush organic latex and up to 1,000 steel coils that reduce motion transfer and keep your spine aligned. Every night I get world-class back support that feels just as good getting in as it does getting out, which we all know as we get older, getting out of bed sometimes is the hardest part of the day if you don't get a good night's sleep and your back hurts. And guys, here's the kicker. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supplies, so they cut out the middleman and pass on the savings to you. You get premium certified organic quality without the premium price tag. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com and save up to 20% on Avocado's certified organic mattress. That's avocadogreenmattress.com for 20% off. Avocado, dream of better. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And on top of doing all the cryptographic consensus, and so they were trying to do two things. And I remember, like, everybody in that era was like rolling their own crypto in a sense, and it was like, don't do that, because that's like how you get all of these really, really big vulnerabilities, and there were many vulnerabilities that were exploited.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, so it is. That was kind of like a big deficiency in that, like, you had to do the whole thing. But not only that, and, you know, one of the things I believe strongly is humans thrive under specialization, right? You know, if you just look at the long arc of society, it's as we get more and more specialized, and, you know, we don't need to do everything. Otherwise, everybody would make their own food and, you know, defend themselves. Then, like, you would not have very, very many interesting things. And so if each person, when they're building, or each team, each company, each protocol, they can build something specialized, and all these specialized things can work together, that's a much richer, interesting, thriving economy. And so that's what our vision was. Build a common substrate on top of which people can build their own services. So notice we're calling these things services instead of calling them chains, which is what, you know, if you just have to look at what's going on in crypto today, everybody has to call everything a chain. To like, oh, say it's an L1, otherwise you don't, you know, your token doesn't go up or whatever. But really, you know, in the last 20 years of like web application development, the biggest investment category is software as a service. It's called SaaS, right? Like last 20 years, most money was made in just software as a service. And it's because you can specialize in what service you are providing, and you can use mix and match, you know, as an application builder, all these services, and then build like very powerful applications. And so that's the similar economy that we envision. And so that was the problem that we were trying to solve when we started this.
Yeah. And is it fair to say that the vision has evolved over time and is kind of iterated and iterated? You know, when I first remember hearing about Eigen for the first time, it was a big launch, big token launch. Everybody in the whole world, you know, was learning about Eigen in real time for like, it felt like a whole month. It was like one of the largest metas, and it birthed this whole concept of restaking and shared security. And, you know, I mean, you truly were pioneers in this. And I'm just curious if this was the original vision of the shared security model, but now it's evolved into, you know, compute and data availability. Like, what was the progression of like just the evolution, I guess, of Eigen?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I haven't talked much about the origins. Actually, the first white paper, which is never published, it was just internal when I wrote it in 2021, was kind of like unleashing the cloud era of crypto. Like that was the main idea. And the thing is, with cloud, you have this very simple thing that you don't need to worry about all the hardware and the cybersecurity and everything. You just write your program, deploy it, you know.
Yep, done for you.
Yeah, exactly. And so how do you do something similar in crypto? Because I was seeing, to a limited extent, Ethereum was doing it, because you can just write a smart contract, deploy it on Ethereum, and it just runs forever. It's pretty amazing that that's a thing that exists.
Yeah.
But how do you expand it beyond the confines of like a blockchain and a virtual machine? So that was the kind of like original role of like Eigenlayer, was to say, In fact, we had the name, you know, before we came up with the concept of staking or restaking, we had the idea and the name Eigenlayer, Eigen in German for your own layer. Everybody should be able to build their own layer. And all these layers work together because they're not, you know, chains. They're just layers. And that's how the world is built, is, you know, layer upon layer. And so that has always been our vision of, you know, what these services are, and these services and layers all work together to create a cloud-like environment. But there's absolutely been evolution along the way. And the evolution was to build this kind of like very complex cloud-like environment. You know, just to take people back into history, right? So when Amazon was a bookstore, right? And they said, okay, you know, we're selling books. Let's also sell, you know, CDs, and let's also sell, you know, these other things. They expand one at a time into like various categories. And, you know, Amazon was publicly traded, and they started talking about, oh, actually, we're going to have this thing called Amazon Web Services, which is computation, because they built some of the data centers for their own kind of purpose. And, you know, Andy Jassy kind of like figured out that, hey, I can rent some of this out to others to use for computation. So that idea that was not well received in Wall Street. People were like, what? are you competing with Walmart? Are you doing body chipping, man? Why are you doing like this crazy thing? And, you know, today 70% of Amazon's revenue is from AWS. And so there's definitely an evolution in even like, you know, what we think of now as standard, it is cloud. And people were very unclear what this cloud is, why it should exist, why it would be big. And so we're in a similar scenario as we kind of like decode what this how big this can be. Because if you look at crypto today, you see like maybe two main theses, right? One thesis is the big chain thesis. Oh, is Ethereum going to be the center, or is some new chain like Solana, or maybe like a Solana competitor like Sui going to be the center of like, you know, action? So that's the big chain thesis in our view. And then you also have the app token or app chain thesis. Is it like the Aave or Hyperliquid, or is it the Uni? Like, which of these is going to be like the big application? So it's a very application-centric thesis. We think we're building to the third thesis for crypto, which is the cloud thesis of crypto. The idea being that like you have this one place in which, you know, the scale of computation that you can do is not limited by one computer. It's, you know, infinitely scales, just like a cloud can scale. You can have hundreds of thousands of computers and like data center grade computation that can be brought back into crypto. So that's the vision. And the pivots we've had to make were, first, we built Eigenlayer. To build Eigenlayer is a very complex multi-sided market. You have stakers who bring in the stake. You have operators who bring in the computational resources. You have developers bring in building AVSs. And bootstrapping this economy is a very, very difficult problem. Because, and you know, very happy to report that we are kind of like nailed this multi-sided market, right?
You guys starting stuck from landing.
It's really,
you guys got like $4 billion worth of Ethereum or something already locked up in the system, I think I recently saw.
It's 20 plus billion, yeah.
Oh, sorry, 4 million Ethereum.
4 million ETH, that's correct. Yeah. So the scale of like this platform as to bootstrap it is really hard. And one of the ways we helped bootstrapping is by saying, oh, we are building the first service ourselves. And that was EigenDA.
Mm.
And we chose that because we saw the Ethereum roll-up economics, and like, you know, one of the big constraints is the data throughput. Can we remove the data throughput constraints? Super happy to report, like EigenDA mainnet V2 went live like maybe a few weeks back. And the throughput that it can carry is 100 megabytes per second, which is 1,000 times what Ethereum can do. 1,000 times. So you can fit in 1,000 Ethereum into...
You built like a toll road on top of Ethereum.
Yeah, exactly. So you can just use... You build an Ethereum rollup, but you can now use all the much higher throughput that EigenDA brings.
Man, it sounds similar, but very different to just like your layer two, right? Like, you know, people know about Optimism and Arbitrum, you know, Base is another big one. But when I hear this, it's a layer two plus, Can you kind of tell me where you situate between Ethereum and these layer twos?
Yeah. So we are neither competitive to Ethereum nor to the layer twos. So it's a kind of very unique thing.
Is it middleware between all of it?
Yeah, it is the set of networks and services needed to actually build anything in crypto. Like the simplest example of what you need EigenLayer for is bridges, right? So you want to move data from one chain to another chain. Somebody should run a decentralized verifiable network that makes sure that the data that you're getting from the other chain is correct. Mm. Because I'm going to release a bunch of money here based on, you know, you locking up money in another chain, right? Totally. So that's an example, which is simple, immediate, easy to understand. But there's all kinds of networks and services that need to be verifiable, like an RPC where you send a request and then you know like what, you know, send a transaction to Ethereum or receive a information back from Ethereum. You know, Infura is the leading RPC network. Infura is building on top of Eigen, this thing called a decentralized infrastructure network. Everybody used to come out, like the Bitcoiners love complaining about it. They say, oh, Ethereum is centralized because Infura is centralized. But now that is running as a decentralized verifiable service. A rollup writes data to Ethereum, right? So an Arbitrum, Optimism, these kind of rollups write data to Ethereum. But Ethereum's throughput is constrained. Like the data that you can write into an Ethereum block, it's called blobs, right? Where you just write data which is unprocessed. That's has a limited throughput, 100 kilobytes per second. And so what we do is we say, oh, write data to EigenDA, which is staked and secured by Ethereum ETH stake and EigenStake, and it can actually validate your data availability. And so there are all these complex blocks that need to come together to build in the crypto ecosystem. And these gaps were all externalized and said, oh, you know, somebody else is going to take care of it. And what EigenLayer does is you can build anything from a chain to a rollup to a any other service that is required in the middle, all of them on Eigen.
And one of the drawbacks I've heard of just like in a high barrier to entry of becoming a blockchain developer is like having to learn Rust to do Solana and then Solidity to do Ethereum and then whatever Bitcoin's made. And it's like you have to learn all these new languages and syntax in order to like, you know, make all these different applications and then they don't talk to each other. Does EigenLayer kind of solve for some of that developer tooling? And, you know, if I just don't know how to write one language, could I just kind of come to EigenLayer and be an effective developer?
Yes. So this is why we built our next primitive we call EigenCompute. Mm. EigenCompute solving two problems. One is the level of expressivity in blockchain today is limited. Like you can't write, like you said, in whatever programming language you want. So that's a limitation. There are things you simply cannot do. Like, for example, you cannot build an AI agent that lives on top of a blockchain. So you can build an AI agent which is centralized and you run in your home and then it talks to a blockchain. That you can do. Just like you can write an AI agent that talks to your bank or your other Facebook or something. Like it's the same. But a smart contract is powerful not because, you know, you run it in your home. A smart contract is powerful because it runs on the Ethereum network and it's verifiable and correct and unstoppable. It runs forever.
But and it runs on everybody's computer.
It runs on everybody's computer and everybody can be assured that it's running correctly.
Yeah.
And because people are assured that these things run correctly, somebody would put $20 billion on like the EigenLayer contracts. Because I'm not running it. Nobody's running it. The Ethereum network is running it and making sure that it's correct all the time. And that power doesn't exist for, if you want to program outside the blockchain's constraints, you lose that. You don't get that power. So you're now running a completely centralized, opaque, trust me, bro, service. And this is like, And because that's unacceptable for mission-critical applications, nobody even considers that an option. So part of what we're doing with EigenCompute is say, hey, here's a thing that can run decentralized verifiable and bring the result back to any chain. So you can trigger a computation, you can write in any programming language exactly as you asked, right? And then ship it to EigenCompute. EigenCompute runs the thing, brings the result back, promise with a certain amount of stake that this is actually correct, and then brings the result on chain and trigger and take actions on chain. So this requires a new model of programming, a much easier model of programming on-chain, where only the token movements need to be returned in the contract. All the other things can be returned in, like, all the application logic other than the token movement logic. Everything else can be returned in a compute. Wow. That makes it relatively universal. That makes it very easy to write programs which are much more expressive. You can just take an existing, like, you want to build an on-chain Twitter, you may fork, like, the Twitter open source code and then, like, actually build your new Twitter on top of it. So you can do some very powerful things with Eigen Compute. The biggest category of things we're excited about is AI and agents, because that's a thing you simply cannot do anywhere today. So it doesn't matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to write, even if you took up the entire Solana or Ethereum throughput, you can hardly write, like, a couple of agents. So it's not even expressive. It's, you know, because you don't have GPUs, you don't use different languages. It's just a mess.
Yeah. Interesting. And so something like, and not to, like, you know, call out people, but I think the two largest AI agent things are kind of Virtuals Protocol and Eliza OS. Yep. And these are, like, what they call frameworks. So yep. You're saying that those aren't running on the blockchain, but they're running on some kind of centralized server? Yep. Okay.
Yep. And so our hope is both of them and others will all upgrade to our kind of verifiable technology.
Fascinating.
And use it, because what they've done is build a lot of the other things needed to make it possible, right? So how does an agent communicate to a blockchain and all this? There's lots of things going on in this, and they've built a lot of those things. But the agent itself is running on, you know, some, you know, central unverifiable computer. And this shows up in, if you look at, like, trading agents and so on, and look at what is the TVL on all of them, it's not much. People are not going to trust, billions of dollars with these agents yet. But once you solve this problem and an AI agent runs exactly like a smart contract runs.
I mean, I could totally see then the big banks actually, you know, using something like this to have AI agents. And it's like, you know, all of these, you know, no cogs in the wheels of back office things that are, you know, just data entry or, you know, manual processes that are the same over and over that, you know, humans are doing. The AI agents, if they're verifiable, and, like, you see, you know, JP Morgan, all these people starting to roll out stable coins and joint sort of projects, like, they'll need a service like this.
Absolutely.
I'm curious, do you guys have, like, I know you know, it's still in early stages, but are you making directed efforts at, like, commercializing this, or are you really focused on, like, just niche developers?
No, totally. We absolutely want working a lot on commercializing this.
Nice.
In terms of where we are, EigenLayer is, like, you know, fully on mainnet with all the features. EigenDA is on mainnet with all the features. Compute is not yet on mainnet.
Okay. Right?
That's coming up, but this is what unlocks this whole era of verifiable agents, and we're hoping to have some version of it this year on mainnet. And so once that is there, it, you know, the obvious big thing to do is to actually get, you know, the JP Morgans of the world excited.
Amazing. No, I'm super excited, but I want to go back to what we talked about, this $20 billion of total value locked that EigenLayer and the Eigen Cloud has. Is securing, you know, it's funny because, you know, if you think like Aave, right? Like Aave, people, you know, they deposit their, I think, $70 billion of deposits, and they're able to earn a yield. And it's kind of this two-way borrow-lend marketplace they're facilitating. But EigenLayer is not like this hard and fast DeFi, like, system. Like, of course, it could enable other DeFi applications to be used on top of it. But what is that TVL doing? How is it securing the network? And what's the purpose of that chunk of change? And is it going to grow? Is it supposed to grow? Is it supposed to say fix? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, it's so what is happening in the Ethereum network? So let's go back to the basics of staking, right? What's happening is people stake ETH into the Ethereum network. Why are they staking ETH? They're saying, hey, I'm going to stake ETH and run the Ethereum protocol correctly. Mm-hmm. And so if you ask, like, how much is staked into the Ethereum protocol, it's some 140, 50, whatever billion, right? It's a lot of money that is staked into the Ethereum protocol, ensuring that the Ethereum protocol runs correctly.
And earning a yield for that.
Like, and earning a yield from, you know, it's coming from Ethereum inflation and they're earning a bunch of ETH coming from that. What the EigenLayer protocol says is, hey, when you're staking, you not just promise that you run the Ethereum protocol correctly, but also all these other protocols correctly. And you earn a fee for doing all of these correctly. And who are you earning a fees from? Right now, the dominant source of yield is Eigen tokens. So, you know, people are earning Eigen tokens because they run, you know, this Eigen programmatic incentives are used to incentivize stakers and
to bootstrap the network.
To bootstrap the network. But that is the kind of like where we are today is, and then you also earn yield from all these AVSs. Each of the AVSs pay some fee and you earn on the same. So that's where the kind of like, that's why people have staked so much into this, is that they're earning this additional yield that is built on top. One of the new features that went live is redistribution, which is a feature that we built into slashing. So the idea is, when you stake right now in Ethereum, if you violate the Ethereum protocol, then you will lose your ETH. Your ETH is burnt. But ETH is burnt, but it is not distributed to the harmed party. So it's just kind of like burnt. And you wonder, okay, you know, well, it seems like a waste instead
of... Yeah, it's like, I sue this person because they wronged me, but I sue them and the government gets the money. It's like, well, how's that?
Yeah, somebody else gets the money. Exactly.
Somebody else gets the money.
And this is a problem for Ethereum because Ethereum cannot identify who got harmed because of it. It's a protocol and it can't identify it. But whereas in EigenLayer, you have this idea of these services and some service got harmed. So, and you can, the protocol knows its service got harmed and therefore it can distribute the money to the service. And so this is a feature in the EigenLayer protocol called redistribution, went live on mainnet. But what it does is, you know, for example, you can now use a bridge and, you know, the bridge, the stakers can promise that they will not, you know, violate how the bridge should work. And if it does get violated, you can slash them, take the money and give it to the harmed bridgers, whoever was bridging funds and they got screwed, they can receive money. This becomes more like insurance than it is just like, you know, slashing and burning your money. Because now if I'm bridging and I know that if something goes wrong, I'm going to get paid back. That's pretty cool. So that's a new like thing that has gone live, and now we have many developers interested in doing new things with it. But this feature also lets us expand beyond the initial surface area, which is most of the AVS is built on EigenLayer, where infrastructure services like data storage, bridges, oracles, AI networks, these kinds of things. Two, now you can directly build DeFi protocols on EigenLayer. Because, you know, liquidation is now just slashing and redistribution. So you put up your ETH and then you borrow USD. And if you borrowed more USD than the value of your ETH, you could just get slashed and your ETH just gets paid out. So this is an unexpected generalization that we did not really build the protocol for, but kind of got discovered by builders who are kind of like always figuring out what new thing to do.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Yeah, it just organically developed. I mean, these are living, breathing networks with people with all different ideas and walks of life and expertise. And it's this big melting pot. And it's really cool to see just different, honestly, mutations develop. And that's how we've all developed. We're just a bunch of just different mutations. In fact, actually, when I was doing a little bit of research on you, I think you used to be a genomics guy, right?
That's correct.
So here I'm talking about mutations of genes.
Absolutely, like, yeah.
Literally an expert. But no, I mean, we could go down that rabbit hole, but I want to stay focused on everything going on with Eigen, just because it's just crazy. It's really cool. And you guys have a lot going on, but I want to dive into this concept of restaking and just like some of the risks, the FUD that is out there, because man, there's so many uninformed takes out there of like, restaking is going to cause the next bear market because it's rehypothecation and it's lending and just look at the charts. It looks exactly like 2008. And so there's like all these things. What is restaking? Can you dispel some of the FUD yeah. around rehypothecation or whatever might be happening?
Yeah, I think there is a misunderstanding of like what kinds of things restaking enables versus what it's about. I think the first thing is understanding what is special about staking into a protocol like Ethereum versus, you know, putting your money into Aave or some other like financial protocol. Mm-hmm. When you stake into a protocol like Ethereum, what you're saying is you're basically saying that, hey, this operator, my operator, you know, whether it's yourself or you find somebody trustworthy, my operator is going to run the Ethereum protocol correctly. As long as they do that, I'm not going to lose any money. Mm-hmm. Now, what EigenLayer lets you do is to say, hey, I'm opting in not just into running ETH, but also like running these other protocols. As long as my operator, which could be myself or somebody I find to delegate, they are running the operations correctly, I'm not going to lose any money.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter whether I opt into one or five or 10 or 20 services, I'm not going to lose any money. So there's no concept. The similar concept is a mistaken like analogy here.
Yeah.
It's not like you're using the same money in many ways or is getting double countered or none of that stuff. In fact, one of the core things we did, this is part of like our own evolution, is the way EigenLayer protocol works. It has this concept called unique stake. Unique stake is, let's say 10 billion is 20 billion stakes on EigenLayer, right? And you could say a portion of this to each. When I'm putting up $10 million of stake, I can say 1 million is slashable by this service, 500,000 is slashable by that service, 1,000 is slashable by this service, and so on. And so that the total is less than what you have put in. So there's no concept of rehypothecation and leverage. And so there's just a mistaken. I think the term restaking was like a viral meme, and like it just sounds similar to rehypothecation.
Yeah, no, it's good. And people just, I mean, they read one thing or they take an experience that they've read about or heard about and they just apply it onto anything, even if it is like, if it doesn't make sense. It's just kind of like a logical fallacy. So I appreciate you kind of walking us through that. I am curious how you guys are thinking about staking and liquid staking in light of some of the really positive recent comments from the SEC. Were you guys kind of like celebrating? Did that kind of come to bear on your business? Or is this just like, hey, you know, we're just down, heads down grinding. We're not paying attention to anything that's going on the regulatory front.
No, it's a big positive movement from where we were last year to like where we are this year.
Yeah.
So I think we were significantly impacted in terms of like our ability to go get Wall Street and other institutions engaged in the ecosystem. And with the regulatory clarity of, okay, what is the role of staking? What is the role of liquid staking? All these things. It helps us a lot, not just us, but protocols built on top of us, like, you know, EtherFi is a liquid restaking protocol, Renzo, Puffer, all these protocols built on top, they all benefit significantly from this thing, even though the specific regulatory thing was on staking, not on the general. We think of ourselves as generalized staking because we have much more optionality. But it's the same principle that applies.
Yeah, no, I love it. Now, if we kind of look into the future, I believe I read a quote from you that you've kind of described this project as a 100-year project that is going to upgrade the human species, which I think is an awesome claim. But what does the world look like in 2125? if your vision comes true.
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, maybe I'll share an anecdote. I was in the dinner with a U.S. Congress person and a representative. And, you know, I was going around the room with a bunch of crypto founders and asking, why are you in crypto? What are you trying to do? And all the answers you hear are like, hey, I know the state can inflate tokens, you know, fiat money is not stable, so we want like Bitcoin, financial access throughout the world, mm-hmm. you know, make stable coins usable all over, global payments. This is the kind of like everyone else.
Yeah, and anybody who listens kind of to the Crypto 101 podcast, it's like those are the same sort of very common through lines of every guest.
And then it came to me, and then they said, like, why are you here? I said, crypto is the greatest upgrade to human civilization since the Constitution. Crypto is the greatest upgrade to human civilization since the Constitution.
That'll get their ears perked like, up.
Everybody's like, stopped. And they're like, who's this lunatic? And the reason I say that, and I believe it deeply, is if you look at what, you know, our civilization is just a system of commitments, right? What is the U.S. Constitution? It's like the Bill of Rights. It's, you know, the set of commitments that the
state has made. It's a coordination.
It's coordination.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a technology for coordination. It's a social system for coordination. An essential ingredient in the coordination system is who enforces this conditions of this coordination. Mm-hmm. Is it a king? Is it a committee? Is it a majority? Even if it's a majority, like, you know, there's a tyranny of the majority. The majority may say stuff that the minority doesn't like. And mm-hmm. is it self-enforcing? We think of self-enforcing coordination as the highest grade, the gold standard of coordination. Mm. And that's what crypto lets you build, right? Because once you enter the conditions contracts into code, then you can bind yourself into commitments that are verifiable, self-enforcing, automated, global, instantaneous, in all the words that kind of like fit with crypto. And so we think it's not just, oh, it's going to make like international payments 1% lower cost. It's actually upgrading the foundational rails of humanity. So I say this, and the congressman stops me and says, okay, this is all great. Tell me in 20 years, you know, you give me more time.
Yeah.
You give me only 20 years. And then in 20 years, what's going to happen to my constituency? Like, is the Bronx going to be different because of this? And my answer is, like, you can think of the big themes, that the big through lines of, like, what are the biggest problems in society? And you can say, like, the most immediate, the instant that we are in is the coming of age of AI and agents. Mm-hmm. And if these agents have to be more than toys, they need trust. We need to be able to trust them, that they did what you said they do. Then you can let them free and they can just do it because they're verifiable, they're held to account, they're insured, like all these properties.
You can track their actions.
You can track their actions. You know why they did these actions, all the data transcripts on IDEA or whatever. So these kinds of things enable you to trust, you know, this new kind of like concept of AI agents. You know, Eric Schmidt, the former Google CEO, mm-hmm. When asked recently, like, hey, you know, can you tell me about the some of the issues that are coming up in the agent era? He says, you know, imagine you let your kids talk to these agents. You know, you maybe tried playing with that. You're like, oh, this sounds really good. Let me give my kid this. And in 6 months, 3 months, they do an upgrade. And then it's a different, it gets you more addicted. It's trying to sell you, like, to go and buy stuff. I don't know what all it's doing, right? So, and so he raises this issue and says this is pretty serious. Like, how do we actually ensure guardrails for these agents that actually ensure that you can't upgrade it willy-nilly? You can't, you know, what are the contours of constraints that it has to obey? And so things like what we're building with EigenCloud, making things agents verifiable, is a big unlock in that space. Equally interesting, it also enables, it's a guardrail on top of agents, mm-hmm. but it also creates new things for agents. Like, you know, this is another anecdote, is the Microsoft CEO, Satya, who was on a podcast. And the host asks him a crazy question. You know, it's in the Dwarkesh podcast. And Dwarkesh says, do you think AI is a new kind of species? Okay. And Satya smiles and says, yeah, you know, even some people in our team talk about these things. But I don't think it's true. It's because an AI cannot own property, cannot enter into contracts, cannot take liabilities, cannot start companies. Hmm. Only humans and human-formed companies can do these things. And our legal infrastructure is not there to support, you know, an AI or an agent to actually do any of these things. And think of Ethereum and smart contracts. A smart contract is just a program owning a piece of property, right? The EigenLayer program owns $20 billion of property. I don't own it. It's the program that owns it.
Right.
And so that's an insane construction. And that can actually, once you can take an AI agent and make it like a smart contract, suddenly it can have its own money, it can do its own things, it can enter into contracts, it can take liabilities, it can have civil, criminal, digital law that it subscribes to. All kinds of crazy things can happen. And this is one of the things we absolutely want to enable on Eigen. And so we are building all the kind of foundational blocks to make it possible to have digital law goal for us live on, you know, and constrain these agents.
It's going to be incredible, an incredible future. And, you know, I'm glad you're building it. And, you know, if we kind of take, you know, a look at the entire landscape, we have Ethereum, which you guys are very focused on, which Wall Street is now focused on, but they've got a roadmap that changes, you know, often. And so are you like hand in hand with the Ethereum Foundation, you know, following their roadmap? Are there changes that you're expecting with the Ethereum roadmap that might come to bear on EigenLayers? And maybe we could just think about like, you know, what's upcoming on that, on that sort of roadmap.
Yeah. You know, I think the, we are very excited about like what's going on in the Ethereum ecosystem and the turn that the EF and the ecosystem has taken over the last 6 months.
Yeah, they've really turned, they've turned positive. Very
absolutely
very
positive. Like I hear words like founder success and like these kinds of concepts, which are very core, like business development type concepts in the Ethereum Foundation. It's amazing. Whereas earlier, they were like very strongly of the position. We're just a protocol. You do your thing. We don't need to talk to you. Like
just a bunch of programmers and math guys.
That's right. That is what it was. And the turn is really, really good. So good. A huge credit to Tomas and the team at EF for turning this around. Also, the emergence of things like Ethereum Lives, which are, you know, the Wall Street arm that is actually going. They just did their funding announcement today. But they are actually out there trying to go to Wall Street, educate them. And I think this is already bearing fruit, like just
big time.
8 months of work, right? And because other organizations had these kind of like, of course, if you're like more like a company, you will have an arm that will go around and talk to Wall Street or Silicon Valley or whatever. So, but Ethereum, there is, oh, we're just a protocol. Like it's just, you know, a bunch of tree huggers or whatever. But, you know, now
we just do set theory on the whiteboards. That's all we do.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, that's why I joined this is because it felt like people like me. But, you know, we ourselves, you know, talk a lot about Ethereum, but we have had a similar micro journey ourselves.
From sure.
We're purists, just worry about foundations. We don't need to worry about credit, you know, neutrality. These are the most important things. Two, oh, we have to invest in our ecosystem. We have to make sure our, like, you know, projects, protocols building on top grow and create value for our users, for the crypto community. What do we need to do to grow the adoption of crypto 10x, 100x? Like, how do we bring new developers into the whole crypto ecosystem? So we are starting to kind of like lead on some of those things. For example, we have, I would say, the best student program in crypto. Like we did this big thing called Eigen Games. We brought in developers from, you know, all the top 50 US universities. We're the main sponsor for Hack MIT, which is the MIT Hackathon, Stanford, like all
heck
this
yeah.
So it's because we want to get, you know, the smartest people know what is crypto, not just be colored by, oh, is this some scam or some meme coin?
Right.
Pay attention to. So we are definitely trying that. In terms of keeping up with the Ethereum roadmap, we're excited that Ethereum is being more aggressive in pushing updates faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if you're, you know, other protocols building on top, you may have a different kind of relationship. Our goal is to, like I said, we're already 1,000x Ethereum's throughput, and we probably want to be 1,000,000x soon. So our goal is to make, like you said, like compete with cloud, make things verifiable, make society verifiable, make every agent verifiable. So the scope of where we need to go and where tech needs to be is like much, much farther. So we are much more aggressive than Ethereum, than Solana, than any other protocol, because in terms of what is needed, what tech is needed to actually unleash this new set of applications. So very excited about some of our own things that are coming up. And also Ethereum accelerating is just uniformly better for us. But also, even though we are centered on Ethereum, our protocol is built on top of Ethereum, the utility of EigenLayer, EigenCloud, is universal.
Right.
So you can use EigenCloud on Solana, on other chains. We announced this feature called Multi-Chain, which basically takes, you know, Ethereum, you know, AVSs and brings the results into every chain. So we, our utility is universal.
That is exactly what the space needs. And, you know, we're building the infrastructure right now, the groundwork. And eventually, I think, you know, within 6 months to 18 months time, there's going to be, you know, thousands and thousands of these AVSs that are user facing, that are, that have great, well-designed front ends that I could go on my mobile phone and just download the app. And I don't even need to know that it's secured by AVS. Yeah, I don't want to know.
That's a really, really good point. In fact, I would say there are already examples like this. There's an app called Earnify, which was a top paid finance app on the App Store. And Earnify is built on top of Opacity, which is an EigenLayer AVS. What it lets you do is it lets you, if you're working at Cheesecake Factory or Starbucks, and you want to have, you know, payroll loans, right? So you want to say, hey, you know, I'm going to earn $4,000 at the end of this month, but I want to borrow it right now. You can actually prove to an EigenLayer AVS that, hey, I've actually logged in for 20 days this month and I'm definitely going to get my at least $2,500 of my salary, and I can now like take a loan for $2,000 on this thing. You wouldn't even know that it has anything to do with crypto. You go to the app, you download it, you know, it's just $1. But now the app, and then you can actually use it, you wouldn't know it has anything to do with crypto. So
yeah, I'm so excited for like that sort of, I kind of sometimes refer to it as like the Netflixization of crypto, because, you know, when Netflix was around, like nobody had to know about servers and, you know, WebSockets or anything. They just want to watch a movie anywhere in the world with a click of a button and have that experience. And that's what people want with their money. I just want to be able to utilize my value anywhere in the world with a click of a button. I don't care how it's done. I just want it to be safe and secure and, you know, credible. And you guys are really enabling that. So I am so excited. And Sriram, where can people follow along with your journey? I know you're pretty active on X. Yep. Do you write, you know, articles? Where do you kind of want to meet our audience in the wild?
Absolutely. I think following me on my X Twitter is the easiest one. It's at Sriram Kannan, my name straight, and at EigenLayer. You know, these two are the best places to follow. I'm going to be starting some blog and other written material, but I'll post them on X.
Awesome. Well, everybody who's at home watching, I hope you enjoyed. You could find all the show notes or all the information that Sriram just gave you about where you can follow him in the show notes below. So please check it out. And Sriram, we really, really appreciate you coming on to the Crypto 101 podcast to do a tell-all on EigenCloud. We hope to have you back on again soon when there's some more big updates and some things that you'd like to talk about. But until next time, take care. And thanks for being such a great builder in the space.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Really excited to do this on the Crypto 101 podcast.
Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.